From the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
You're listening to Art Chat Daddy Sims on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
p.m. right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy, back for another evening of your favorite entertainment magazine show here at VON. Yeah, we're entertainment show, but we hope that you take away a lot of great information from the show. It's happy hour, so you should have your favorite beverage. We don't care what it is. And if you're at work, continue to do enough work that you're able to keep your job, but keep listening to Real Talk, Real People. Let's give my girl Wendy Brown another big round of applause. Toronto-based mental health therapist and expert. And I kid you not, you guys, she sent me a text message. She's like, Art, I am so concerned about Bill Cosby. I said, perfect. A white woman in another country concerned. So am I. So that's how Wendy ended up with us tonight. And didn't you all feel her compassion in that telephone call? Right. She, her head is spinning up there in Toronto. So, and that just goes to show you the impact that Bill Cosby has had on a lot of people. Right. So we just leave that at that. So I want to remind everyone that tonight is my Friday. Womp, womp, womp. No, I'm excited. I'll be back on Monday night. Our good friends from B-Wise, that's Black Women in Engineering and Science, they'll be back here. As you guys all know, a couple of weeks ago, they talked to us about updating your resume, some words you can use on your resume, things, tips that so many of you all email me and a lot of phone calls saying thank you so very much. That information they gave was valuable. Well, the ladies will be back to continue that conversation as well as talk about STEM jobs that do not require a degree. Did you hear what I said? STEM jobs that do not require a degree. They're going to talk about these positions, and they may even have a couple of positions you guys can apply for. Now, I'm just going to tell you how it is. And then we're going to welcome to the show Chicago's very own filmmaker, Shahari Moore. She'll be here Monday night to talk about her film work and all the things that she's done. And she has a big movie screening next Saturday that yours truly is the host of. So we look forward to welcoming the ladies of B-Wise back on Monday and Shahari Moore, legendary filmmaker. All right. So now the time has come for us to have our ladies roundtable about the Me Too movement. And these ladies were supposed to have been here with me 2 weeks ago, but God saw fit for this conversation to be tonight. And I'm excited and honored to have this conversation. And this should generate a lot of buzz about this topic. Our first guest that's on our panel this evening, she's no stranger to the show. She's been here with us many times before. She flew in just to do this roundtable with us this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the show the author of the book Love You and He Will Too, The Smart Women's Roadmap for Happy, Healthy Relationships, our good friend, the one and only Miss Elizabeth Overstreet. Hey! How are you, dear?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Glad to have you back. You look amazing.
Thank you.
We miss you so much, and we appreciate you flying in to do tonight's show and all of that. So what's been going on with you? And tell everybody a little bit about who you are and your background.
Yeah, so I'm a relationship coach and an author and a writer and speaker, and I really focus on helping women to have healthy relationships, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of that ties to how they feel about themselves, mm-hmm. so that's often reflected in the relationships they have with others.
Very good. So now, let me talk to you about this, Elizabeth. What is Me Too? How is Me Too defined? You know, a lot of times when me and the guys are talking about Me Too, guys will snicker. You know what I'm saying? Guys will be like, yeah, okay, okay, but to women, what does Me Too mean? What do we face with?
Yeah, so, you know me, I'm the stats woman, and I like to always go and do some extra research on this. So when I looked into the Me Too movement, of course, I'm hearing about it. I've experienced some of the things, so it's relatable to me as a professional working in different environments of men making unwanted advances towards you. Mm-hmm. But really where the Me Too movement came was through Tarana Burke. Mm-hmm. She was the founder of it. She was a social activist and a community organizer, and she started the terminology to really empower young women and people who felt marginalized. And this was in 2006. Mm-hmm. But fast forward, now we're in 2018, 12 years later, Alyssa Milano just happened to talk about her experiences in the industry mm-hmm. through Twitter, and she said people had, you know, send a hashtag if this has happened to you with Me Too. And it was interesting. Within that, like, day, there was over 200,000 times people tweeted Me Too of experienced sexual harassment and unwanted sexual gestures towards themselves in the workplace. And then by the end of the day, it was 500,000 times more tweets. And then on Facebook, there were over 4.7 million people. So to me, what it said is that it's been happening for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't improved. Because mm-hmm. here, Tarana was talking about it in 2006. And then look at the wave of support. And I think the support really came because there were women in higher positions who we perceived had made it and were successful, mm-hmm. and they still were having this behavior, unwelcome behavior, happen to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So unwelcome behavior, things that are not acceptable. Okay, Joseph, so we're going to take notes now so we clear on this because, you know, of course, I'm going to have to play the devil's advocate several times in this conversation because I do have some questions about it. But so that is what Me Too is all about. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, very good. I'm going to introduce our other guests who are part of the panel before we go to break. One of our favorite etiquette experts, I thought I would add her to the conversation tonight because it makes good sense that we need to maybe figure out some solutions to some things. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the show the incredible Miss Akila Easter. How are you?
Well, thanks for having me, Art. Thanks for this significant conversation that we need to have, particularly with Black and African American women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now, what is your definition of this Me Too situation right now?
I think a lot of the things that we have accepted are coming to light. And when you said earlier in the conversation, when you discuss it with other gentlemen, they may snicker at this conversation.
Mm-hmm. And not in a disrespectful way, but dudes is like, what is Me Too?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And I hear is, I don't know what to do now. I don't know.
Yes.
Should I say hello? Is that Me Too? You know,
right.
You know, you're trying to demean the whole situation.
The whole church hug thing is no more. You know, people actually dapping hands now.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And I can appreciate that, honestly, because you are actually thinking before you're acting, right?
Oh, okay.
So being aware of how you are interacting with women, I always tell men, treat them as if they were your daughter. Mm-hmm. What would you like a gentleman or a man to do to your daughter? Do you think that she would be uncomfortable in this situation? Mm-hmm. And I think when people start to call out things, and that's what's going on with the racial injustice as well. People are starting to call things out. And now people are aware. Mm-hmm. Like that sensitivity, that can go out the door because I'm telling you how I feel. Mm-hmm. Telling you how it makes me, how I want to respond to that. And that being that people are standing up, I think this is going to be a little, we're going to have to take this little moment of understanding that people are going to start to speak up. There are consequences to your actions and you got to deal with it pretty much.
Wow.
So that's the Me Too movement for me. And I think a lot of women, different stats state that 80% of women have experienced this. It's in all levels of work. It's from the maid to the CEO of the company. Mm-hmm. So it's all women are encompassed in this. And a lot of attention came to this when a lot of white women started to speak on this. And an African-American woman had started this, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. African-American women have been sexualized in the history of America. So there's a lot of different it's a complex topic, particularly for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. All right. Our next guest is Shanira Moody. She's our chief of staff here at WVON Radio. She's a lady who's been in the corporate world for many years. She's broken the glass ceiling many different times with all the work she's done. But she, too, also is like, wait a minute. Me too. Me too. Mm. And so, Shanira, good evening. Glad to have you here.
Good evening, Chad. Look, thank you for having me.
Hey, boss lady number two. Hey, boss lady number two. Glad to have you here this evening.
Thanks for the invitation.
My pleasure. Shanira, so what is Me Too to you? How do you feel about it?
Again, if I could repeat a little bit of what our first guest initiated, Tarana Burke actually started the Me Too campaign because of her experience working with young people. I come from a long work history working with young people, so I've heard some of the similar travesties that a lot of women have shared from young ladies. And understanding that this is something that starts oftentimes when we're young girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important to acknowledge that education is important so that ladies or girls know that they don't have to endure this. So I think a lot of the messaging for Me Too has to be that educating our young people about how to cease it, how to make it end.
Mm-hmm.
And Tarana actually was working with a young lady who confided that she had been violated. Mm-hmm. And Tarana did not approach the situation in the way that she thought about it later. She didn't approach it the best way.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she wished she would have told the young lady, me too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the hashtag came from, because she herself had been molested, and she did not relate that at the time to the student, but I think it's important for us all to be advocates to our young people, for them to be educated as to how to handle a situation in which they're being violated.
Okay, very good. Okay, so we're going to get into all that. Very good. And last but not least is one of our favorites here at Real Talk, Real People. She was just here with us last week. You've been here almost every week, but we do. We love you so very much. She's a HIV an STI training specialist. We all know her as Auntie Gina around here, but she is Gina Lamar Evans, a woman with a bad master's degree in making sure people do what they need to do. And we love you. We do, Auntie Gina.
That.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show, Gina Lamar. Hey, Auntie.
Hey.
That's right.
Hey, Auntie.
I have to get on there for Joseph. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here, because as you all are talking about those stories, that's what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm seeing these women who have contracted the virus, who come in repeatedly with STIs, because sexually transmitted infections, because they're in relationships where they don't feel empowered. Some of them are with bosses that they did not want to be with.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that you all are saying is what I live regularly. So that's how the whole, me becoming a healthy relations expert came about, because I'm repeatedly talking to not just women, though, to people who were violated and didn't even recognize they were violated, because the violations began to happen so early in life that they thought, well, is this wrong? Like, isn't this how this works?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this how you get extra dinner at the house?
Right.
Extra food?
Right.
From your uncle?
Right.
Right.
Isn't this how we start dating?
Isn't this how we start dating?
Right, exactly.
And so
yeah.
There's so many things. There's so many layers to this movement that I don't want it to get lost. I don't want the Me Too to get lost with all the different things that are going to happen with it. I'm so glad to have you, that you're having us here for us to talk about it.
Yes. Well, okay. So, ladies, this is kind of where I want to start off before we have to go to commercial break. But this is something I said to each and every one of you. Life is based on the hunt and the huntee, okay? You are, all of you ladies in here, just as fine as you want to be. Joseph was so excited y'all was coming tonight. You know what I'm saying? All four of you are very bootylicious. You really are. You really are.
You
but
can't say
it,
that.
Well, yes, I can. I can say it. I can say it.
And what makes you think you can say it?
It's me. You know, let me say why.
We'll be talking about
this in
a few years.
But isn't that what you want guys to think about you, that you're beautiful, you're sexy? You the one kicked it off with the tight blouse and said, well, maybe I've gotten too fat for this blouse. Well, all we see is cleavage. We see cleavage. So isn't this what life is about? Women being temptress and men being hunters and wanting to pursue women. And it's been around forever, right?
But that's not what life is about.
And why do we act like men can't control themselves? We give them tickets for everything. Like, don't be alone with the man. He can't control himself.
Yes.
Don't tease him. He can't control himself.
Yeah, we call him
myself.
The head of the stronger one, right?
Right.
He's the stronger sex. He's the head of the household. Yet he can't be left alone.
We coddle.
With matches.
It's too, right.
Make up your mind.
I mean,
your man can't be left alone with matches.
Well, that's what we're saying. If we have to give them a pass for every single thing.
Yeah, we excuse everything, because the first thing you're going to blame is the victim. Why were you up there alone with them? What time was it? All these different things. So when you're blaming the victim, the person who was assaulted in the situation...
Microphone just dropped on down. That mic like, ooh, she's finna let us have it. Microphone just fell out the sky.
But I love how she rolled
with
it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we need to put more account. I think what's going on now, we're putting more accountability on the man. And a lot of people don't know how to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the whole dynamic is right now.
Mm-hmm. Ladies, let me ask you this, and we're going to run the break. Do you remember your first awkward Me Too situation or something that you kind of, and not that you know, but do you remember it?
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
And what triggered you to say, uh-oh, this may not be right? Because again, think about it. You young, you looking for love, you've met somebody. Now, if it's something where somebody's, you know, pedophilia or something like, I get that. But still, it's something that would resonate, I get. Because, I mean, as a guy, we've all had a Me Too moment, something mm-hmm. that wasn't quite right, you mm-hmm. know? All right, when we come back from break, we're going to continue our conversation. We're talking about the Me Too movement. I have a studio full of just wonderful ladies who are sharing their thoughts and feelings about it. We're not trying to bash anybody, put anybody down. We're just trying to get to the root of what could the, you know, could it be? Because really, we've all been living inappropriate for a long time. And we're not trying to be all churchy.
Everybody,
we're not trying to be churchy about
everybody
it.
Everybody out here.
Right. We ain't trying to be churchy, but all of y'all like to get you some. Right. I know you do. I've seen you.
I have no idea.
Right, now, I know you. Look, why you do what you do for a living, lady?
No idea.
Right. Look, why you do what you do for a living, ma'am? Please. All right. You're listening to the Thursday night edition of Real Talk, Real People. We'll be right back.
Find us on Facebook and like us. Search WVON 1690 AM, The Talk of Chicago. You become eligible for special benefits. Think of us as your special friend with benefits. We're your hookup. 1690 WVON.
Twenty-five after the hour, right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM, WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. I'm your host, Chat Daddy, back for another evening of your favorite entertainment magazine show here at VON, where we talk about just a little bit of this and a whole lot of that. But most importantly, we hope that you are relaxing, relating, and releasing whatever the stress and drama in your life. We ask that you let it go. America is buzzing with talk of racial profiling. We see it, hear it, and experience it everywhere. It's a big problem, and WVON has created a wonderful digital social media movement entitled What's Your Story? All you have to do is create a video sharing your version of an experience with racial profiling. Click on What's Your Story at WVON.com. It's a banner right there. All you have to do is look at a sample video. It'll give you all the instructions on what you need to know to share your story. And you do not have to be in the Chicagoland area. If you can hear my voice and you've been racially profiled, we need to hear your story. How about that? Okay. We're back in studio, and I have a group of ladies here tonight, and we're talking about the Me Too movement. And before we went to break, ladies, I know Teddy Pendergrass has come on, go with me. I know, but that's usually how it all gets started. That's usually somebody that manipulated and tried to convince you and all of that. And I'm just telling you, that's the way it all starts. Our good friend Elizabeth Overstreet, author, life coach. Elizabeth, the Me Too movement, what are some of the things that are inappropriate that has been going on that maybe a lot of guys are not aware of?
So I think there's like two lens to look at it from, and we were talking about this through the break. There's the dating side of it, and there's the work side. I know being a young professional myself and working with men and just being in environments where they say inappropriate things of a sexual nature and you're not welcoming that, it's hard because when you're early in your career, you're trying to make your way and you're trying to find that balance of how not to hinder your career development. Mm-hmm. But I just think, like, if you wouldn't say it to your, you know, in front of your wife or your significant other, mm-hmm. and you work with women, don't say it to that woman. It's unwelcome. We talked about, like, as far as personal space outside of the work arena, like if you're just out and about, how guys, you know, if you feel uncomfortable in certain environments, like we talked about work, you know, walking along a construction site, and women have to think twice because you just, guys tend to leer and stare. And I understand that guys look at us and they're like, you're attractive, but I just think there's a balance. And I think men know when they're crossing the line, but unfortunately, society kind of supports that behavior. So it's continued to just escalate over time. And I just think women are just tired of it. So it's just it's the unwelcome behavior. And I know me, even when I'm dating someone, I really appreciate a man that asks me if he could kiss me, as opposed to just taking the kiss or groping me. So it's just that to me, that's common sense. You know, would you want someone to do it to your sister? Would you want someone to treat your mother that way? Mm-hmm. Does your dad treat your mother that way? Mm-hmm. If he does, he's messed up. Right. Mm-hmm. But just taking it to that level and kind of doing that introspective thinking, mm-hmm. you know, helps you to understand like where the boundaries are.
Very good. Chenera, you have something you wanted to say?
I was in agreeance, but I also feel like we take away a little bit of the, I don't know what the word is. The if you have to ask for a kiss, maybe you shouldn't be kissing.
Oh.
I actually like a surprise kiss.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
Just
all
go
right.
with the flow type of thing.
But now, is that something that you have to tell a man, especially in the day and age we're in now? If you and a gentleman are getting to know each other, I'm with you on the surprise kiss, the romantic thing. But nowadays, I guess guys would have to be careful. So is that something that you would say to him, hey, I love surprise kisses, or... I mean, I don't know. How does that?
I don't
that...
know if I would say that, but I guess at the right time in the relationship, there's a discussion about comfortability and mm-hmm. space. Mm-hmm. Of course, I've been on several dates. I'm dating mm-hmm. and have dated. Mm-hmm. So there are times when the chemistry isn't there, and I'm like, the guy might be getting a little too close, and so he's putting his hand really in that little curve of my waist, mm-hmm. and it's uncomfortable. Another time when the date is going well, it's the right person. That's just fine. So I think it's about your comfortability mm-hmm. and your relationship with the individual.
Now, ladies, I'm going to have to act a fool now. Now this comfortability, and when you make this decision that this may not be the dude for you, how many martinis have he bought? How many appetizers has he paid for? And then what triggers this may not be the dude for me, too? Now, I'm curious to know that. What triggers that this may... Because I guarantee you the dude may not know he
ain't the
dude.
He was rude to the bartender after he bought all those drinks. He was rude to the waitress.
Or if you're showing that is your sole intent, like you're a little... I like a man who's reserved, and although he might find me attractive, he's able to have a conversation. He's able to go on a couple dates without getting too physical too mm-hmm. fast.
But I think this mm-hmm. is the rub, because from the male perspective, the more you're engaging, and women, we are sometimes guilty of that, the more you send mixed signals. Signals mm-hmm. of interest. So, like, if you're still going out with someone and you are drinking with them and you're not interested, you are sending that guy a signal that he has a chance. And
okay.
I think that's what leads to some of this behavior, too. Mm-hmm. And then
right.
there's almost a surprise, like, oh, he's trying to have
I
an intimate
agree.
Relationship
right.
with me, but he's been out with you four or five times.
I agree.
And there's
mm-hmm.
some women on the other side.
Honey,
of
I'm
it.
Sitting here with a calculator, like, martinis, $15 a piece. This is the fourth date. That's my electric bill. And a little bit of my rent money. So now, you
see what
I'm
saying? And I think that's the
balance,
like, because mm-hmm. there's some, I mean, we know there's good, you know, there's some women that exploit this, right?
Correct, right.
So I think that's the hard part of it, because I, you know, I've experienced things like the other lady talked about where someone did something to me that I didn't want to happen to mm-hmm. me. And the next day I'm like, oh my God, I felt stupid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I tried to explain it to myself, and I said, man, if I tell this story, people are going to totally look at me in a judgmental way and say, well, why did you do this, this, and that? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the rub, because you do have some women who do play both sides of it,
correct.
Too.
But
that's
we have to be able to say, because I wanted to go out with him. But I did not want him to hold the small of my back. I didn't want him to lean in for the kiss. And I definitely didn't want him to follow me home. Like,
absolutely.
It's okay. And there's confusion that comes with... because I went on a date with you. But, you know, I think that's dating. That's a little
mm-hmm,
different
right.
than what we're talking
everyday
about. And
society.
I think one of the questions mm-hmm. you asked us was when was the first time that we felt uncomfortable? When was
right.
that first,
right.
wait a minute, this just isn't right,
mm-hmm.
you know? And
mm-hmm.
when you feel that, no matter what the situation is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, as women, we have to think safety first.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we do... you know, thwart off these advances, what could possibly happen? Then we have to think, what will other people think, mm-hmm. how I react to this, am I overreacting to this? So I have to think about all of these things because you rubbed up against me going to the copying machine at work mm-hmm. because you got on the elevator and I was standing right next to the buttons, but you leaned all the way over to push their buttons on your side and my side, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, I know for me, the first time I really felt it was with, unfortunately, a friend's husband. Because I think now that I know better, right. I probably missed so many advances.
You're so okay. naive, right.
I missed right. But a friend's husband, we were out and he said, hey, do you want to go someplace else? And I go, no, because I was the one in from out of town. Mm-hmm. And said, hey, do you want to stop off someplace else? And I was like, no, like, we can go right back to the house. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we were doing. And it took me a minute, but then it hit me like, hey, would you ask me to go someplace else? You know, good and well, we're supposed to be going from here mm-hmm. to there. Mm-hmm.
Trying to holler at you.
And I was supposed to be meeting your friend.
Okay. No. Right. We're trying
right.
to holler at you. Ladies,
so what are you talking?
Do you remember other weird or different situations that may, that kind of triggered to you, like, this may not
oh, yeah.
be right?
At a young age, so I was a track athlete, so you would find, I remember the security guard in high school commenting on my body. And he knew my father, right? Mm-hmm. So he would say certain things. And I'm like, I don't think that's appropriate. You know, just mm-hmm. I've right. always been saying that to people. Like, I don't think that you should be commenting on my legs. You mm-hmm. know, those different types of things. What gives you the audacity to feel like you can comment on a high schooler's body mm-hmm. and think that that's okay?
Right.
Right. So just, I mean, I think it started very young. Once girls start to develop, you'll hear their mom start to give them these little rules that they have to do, that they have to abide by, yes. to control, to make sure men can control themselves around you. Mm-hmm. Don't bend over. Why are you walking around this house in those shorts? You know, those different types of things, ways that we have to cover ourselves when we're just being teenagers or we're being adolescents, mm-hmm. right? So I think at a young age, we're taught how to protect ourselves, in a sense, from men.
Well, and we were also off microphone was saying that, you know, a lot of times people overlook that uncle that right. that can't keep his hands to himself, that mm-hmm. uncle that has done some things that's not right, that cousin, whatever the case may be. And we allow these people to keep coming to the barbecue.
Keep coming.
We allow these people to keep doing what they do. And really, this is things that have happened to people, male and female.
Right.
And so how do we, you know, help to change that dynamics? Because a lot of this mess is in our own families.
We need to out the bad behavior. I mean, definitely. Even the whole R. Kelly thing, I used to get so ticked off because I would have conversations with people about it. Like before, now it's okay, and you know he shouldn't be performing, but for many years we knew who he was. And I remember having conversations, and they would say, well, the girls are fast, or the yes. girls are getting, you know, they're getting the best out of him or whatever. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. He's a grown man. He's a pedophile. Why are you supporting him? So I just think we have to, like, in our black community, I think we've kind of covered over, or if someone talked about being molested, it was kind of, you know, push.
Don't
know,
talk about that.
Right. Don't talk about that. Don't mm-hmm. say that about that person. And I think we need to have open conversations because it's done damage right. to our psyche.
Anybody?
I would. I had to think about the Me Too. And one thing that came to mind again was an officer of the law. I won't say what city. I was stopped on my way from a job at night. And I don't remember what he said he pulled me over for. But he said, let me see if you have a warrant. Get in the back of the car. So I thought that was strange because, of course, I hadn't been arrested, and I'm an innocent sweet lady.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Law-abiding citizen.
That's right, right, right. Hold on to that, man, as long as you can. Yes, please.
Breaking ceilings and things, you know.
Right, right.
So I knew that I hadn't done anything wrong as far as I could tell, so I thought this would be kind of easy. But then he kind of said some things, and he was in the front seat. I was in the back. He said something that was kind of flirty, out of line, and then he said, okay, you're clear. And then he flashed money, like a wad. So I knew he was then a dirty cop. I'm not going to say what city.
Uh-huh.
And
girl, make sure you click this hotline. We got a VON. It's called What's Your Story?
And he yes. proceeded to give me his card or some kind of information. And I told my friends about it later that night and the next day. And they were like, well, he's crazy and blah, blah, blah. But this was someone who was an authoritative
yes.
figure. Mm-hmm. Very intimidating. I'd never been in the backseat of a car, a mm-hmm. backseat of a police car.
He probably thought that turned
guns.
You on. He yeah. probably thought it would turn you on.
Definitely not.
It's all musty again, back I'm there and stuff angel. Like, yeah, I've been
that's how we know.
Right.
Yes. And so that was a scary and frightening time for me. I was right out of college, so pretty young. Mm-hmm. And so I think about that with people in authority, whether it is law enforcement or people that have access to information. And again, the threat to young people, be it male or female. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about children again, we're saying, who are they most afraid of these days, especially in our community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was one of the first things that came to my mind with me, too.
Okay. All right. When we come back from break, we're going to continue our conversation. You're listening to our very special Me Too Movement conversation roundtable of sisters of all walks of life, just kind of here expressing their thoughts and feelings. I see we have a call on the live line. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. We'll be back in just a moment.
When you see news happening, call the WVON News Now tip line at 773-336-3415 or send an email to news@WVON.com.
After the hour, right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM, WVON. You're listening to Real Talk, Real People. That's the incredible Miss Millie Jackson, and that's the song Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, you guys. I'm trying to figure out the world we live in now. Everything is changing. Nothing seems to be the same. Really, the basis of this conversation that we're having tonight is about the Me Too movement. But me being Chat Daddy, I'd strip it on down and look at it. Everybody's seeking and looking for love. And so now we have a situation of boy versus girl and girl versus boy and what is appropriate and inappropriate. So my panel tonight is helping us to kind of sort through this. And we're going to go to the live line in just a few minutes. Auntie Gina, before we went to break, you had something to say. But really, this does break down the boy meets girl, girl meets boy, but a lot of times it may not be what you want, he want, or he wants you, and this kind of go back to like playground, grade school. I don't know.
Again, I think that's more dating. So I just want to slide in Bill Cosby.
Okay,
Bill Cosby thing is we're talking about the Me Too movement and whether or not those incidents happened. That I believe every one of them happened. Do I believe they happened that way? Absolutely not. Do I believe white women in the 60s were being assaulted by a black man all over the country?
Yeah, that's what I said, too.
And nobody prosecuted him. No one heard of this. No one talked about this. This didn't happen. And so do I believe that exactly what you're talking about? Did we get together and have drinks? Did I go back to your room? No, I'm not blaming the women at all. I don't believe that they were, I think everybody was doing Quaaludes. That may have been happening. Drugs may have been happening. But I don't know that they were sexually assaulted in the way in which they're claiming now because of the climate. So that's just, you know, when you're talking about that. And so when you talk about boy meets girl and girl meets boy, up into the point of penetration, if I say no, no means no. And you have to stop. Or you're now in the middle of a sexual assault, and whether we went on a date or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Anybody? Any Akilah?
You I concur.
Well, you chicks concur.
I think a lot of women are very timid, And I think that we do need to be more assertive in those situations. If you're comfortable enough to be alone with that man, you're comfortable enough to articulate how you feel about a situation. With the Aziz Ansari situation where they had done sexual acts with each other, but afterwards she said, I kind of felt like I had to. Or I've heard some women say, well, I just decided to because, I mean, he bought me drinks. He took me out to dinner. Mm-hmm. I went back to his place. I mean, I feel like I led him up to that situation. But like Gina said, up into
the point of penetration.
There you go.
Right. You can say that.
The point of penetration. Should you, if I say no up until that point, mm-hmm. whether I am completely naked, you should be able to refrain from that.
Okay. Well, let me see if my listening audience can refrain. Let's go to Chris on the south side. Thank you, Chris, for holding. Welcome to the show. What's your comment?
Hey. Good show.
Thank you.
You know what's interesting is, how do people know boundaries? How do the opposite sex know boundaries mm-hmm. when they're both people of the opposite sex disrespecting boundaries? Mm-hmm. So, the women mentioned, you know, you should stop when he says stop and you know, older coaches and male coaches saying bad comments to teenage girls. But then most guys that's in high school, the female teachers are saying bad stuff to them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So the behavior is not just one way. We pretty much learn behavior how sometimes the other sex treat us in these particular situations. Mm-hmm. So if a woman wants boundaries, but then the male is learning boundaries from other women, or his boundaries again being disrespected from by other women and vice versa, how do we know boundaries?
Okay, very good. Thank you so much, Chris. We appreciate you for that. Okay, so Chris, and that's kind of, we're going to have to do
that's
a part two to this.
Right.
We really are. We're going to have more of this. So, mm-hmm. right, that's a me three at this point. So, Elizabeth, boundaries.
Okay, so two things I want to address that he said. The Me Too movement has expanded now. It's not just women, it's men too. So, just like this is happening to women, there's men that are being disrespected. Secondly, I think it's asking the question again, like, can I hug you? Sometimes it's just, you know, people make assumptions, but I think when you ask, you're saying to that person, I respect you enough to at least ask you the question of, is this something you want to happen? So I think in setting boundaries, it's just being more open in your communication and not making the assumption that a behavior is okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Akila.
And not allowing behavior to be normalized. So the way that we were raised is how we respond to different things. So in your household, you make girls assertive, tell girls, oh, this is not okay for a man to do to you. Same vice versa with men as well. And then that's when they start to learn how to articulate themselves to say, I am uncomfortable. And that's men and women in those different situations, like he said, with how teachers may interact with young men, or female teachers may interact with young men. It's the same scenario. He should be able to say, you're making me uncomfortable. Or you a grown woman. You should not be talking to me
right.
like that. So
right.
Just being able to learn those behaviors and not allowing them to become normalized is a thing. And mm-hmm. we're coming out of that normalization. Mm-hmm. We're coming out of different gender roles within our society. So I think that we need this little time to adjust to these new findings.
Okay, ladies, anything else before I go to this live line? Anybody? Okay, let me get Tommy on the south side. Good evening, Tommy. Thanks for holding, and what's your comment?
Well, Chad, let me just say this. You know, first of all, good evening to the ladies. And, you know, let's be real about this, because the reality of all of this is that there has been a climate that has existed from the beginning of the ages about how men treat women. And so diabolical is this treatment that I believe that the Me Too movement is really not about, like, the women that are on your panel right now and other women who are still silent to this day, who have never got their justice that they should get from these characters who actually preyed upon them, who actually did things to them. Mm-hmm. And instead, to me, it's more like adult film stars. And you go, listen, I know that there's a point in time things happen. It's true. But you're going to tell me 70 individuals who's with an individual who they say drugged them against their wishes and stuff, and nobody's father, brother, uncle, sister, Ray Ray, BB, eat right. them up one eye. Nobody went back and beat the hell out of them.
Right.
Because, you know, there was just a case where some guys did this to a lady, and she went and got a couple of guys, and the guy went back and beat this man to death, and of course she went to jail for it.
Right.
But the bottom line to all I'm simply saying is this. I really believe that if we're really going to have a serious conversation about this, these girls that are with R. Kelly, all the parents need to be locked up. I mean, seriously, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like they're prostituting these girls out, and then all of a sudden, here comes some kind of situation. And I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form is it correct. Mm-hmm. I believe that if we're really going to be real about this, we need to go get these pedophiles. We need to go get these rapists. We need to stop slapping people on the wrist. If there's a culture in California or Hollywood that goes on where women use what they got to get what they want, hey, come on, man. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
All right,
God
Tommy.
Bless you,
thank you so much, brother. You said a mouthful. He really did. Ladies, anybody want to respond back to what Tommy said? I mean, really, because, I mean, if that's the case, we do live in a culture and a society where everybody's a freakonique. Everybody has done something inappropriate.
You know, a couple times we've said on here, you know, how would you feel if it were your daughter, your sister, your mother? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated, right? But mm-hmm. the platinum rule, mm-hmm. bigger than all of that, is treat me the way I want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
It's your mother may have been okay with your father slapping her around.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I want for myself. Mm-hmm. And their marriage may have lasted 50 years and been good for them. So I think let's take it a step further. The platinum rule. If I say no, it means no, and I don't have to be shamed about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Let's go to the live line and talk to Pam on the west side. Good evening, Pam. Thanks for holding, and welcome to the conversation.
Good evening, Chad, and thank you for the conversation. And hello to the ladies. They're hitting a lot of great points.
Okay.
And I just want to add, one of the callers talked about where are the boundaries, and I don't know, because you're with some women, and this is okay, and some something different is okay. But I think the mistake that men make, Chad, some men, and the ladies, let me know if you agree, we're not all the same. Mm-hmm. So there is no collective way to behave with women. So to the men, how about this? How about when you go out, just express to the woman, if there is anything that I do that makes you uncomfortable, please let me know at any point in this date. And to the women, how about if we say the same to them, to the men? Mm-hmm. If there's anything that makes you uncomfortable or awkward, please let me know. Maybe we need to extend those courtesies in the beginning. Then that way you'll know each person's individual boundary, mm-hmm. because all women aren't the same.
That's right. That's right. Some people want the attention, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but some people want that kind of attention.
Well, you said that some people are freaks. Some
right,
people
right.
can't get rough. But
I do say that quite often, don't I, Pam? Yes.
Yes, but everybody has a point where they can use their safe words, and right. I'll hang up and listen.
All right, we love you, Pam. Licorice. We said that earlier tonight. Licorice. All right, that makes a lot
but
of sense.
But even a freak can say no. So,
exactly. Which is true. Even a freak exactly. can say no.
Even a working girl can say no.
Right.
And I might be a freak with Mark, but not with David.
Right.
So it really depends on your relationship. And I think the caller hit on a very valid point, is that every woman is different and every relationship is going to be different. So the conversations need to be adjusted for the situation that you're in.
Okay. Let me grab this real quick. Let's talk to Loretta. Good evening, Loretta. Thanks for holding and welcome to the show. We're limited on time, but we want your comment. Go right ahead.
Very brief. Thank you so much for taking the call. I am really appalled by a couple of the sisters on the program when this very serious subject is being discussed, and they were laughing. To me, it is not a laughing matter.
Mm-hmm.
I rest my case.
Okay.
You.
All right. Thank you. All right. So now what were we laughing about?
I will. So I understand what you're saying, Loretta. I will tell you that I'm a survivor of sexual assault. And through me working through the situations that I've encountered, I've learned how to deal with them. So I don't think that we're not laughing at the serious points.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't delved into this topic. We've been talking about a lot of the surface aspect of
mm-hmm.
it. But I will tell you, as a survivor, it's not a laughing matter. And we're not laughing at those situations. We're laughing at our specific scenarios. And
mm-hmm.
we've been asked questions and we've responded to. how we handle those situations. So I do understand you. It's not a laughing matter as a survivor of two sexual assaults, I think we're trying to just allow people to, one, relax about the topic so that we can articulate and open our minds to the topic, because a lot of people have an initial response and they don't want to hear anything else. Well, we have a casual conversation and we allow these conversations to be open, and because we just don't talk about these things within our community. And I'm sorry, I'm rambling now. With the psychology of it, we don't talk about it. It's from my parents' generation. Don't let anything leave this house. This stays in our house. Mm-hmm. And I think now that we're able to have these open conversations, this is how we're having the conversation.
Which is true. And just to kind of back up what you were saying, I've talked to all of these ladies offline. And really, you know, on this show, when we do laugh about something, we're trying to break through the pain that we've been through. And each one of these ladies shared something with me that, you know, when they told me the story, we did have to laugh a little bit. Like, my God, do you know how many other people have been through this and not know it? And we as a race of people have really gone through a lot of things. And so that's why we're trying to have this open dialogue like this. Elizabeth, where are you at now?
And I think, you know, when people can share their experiences, it lessens the shame and it creates more transparency, like you said, about having that conversation. And I think for a long time, like you said, things have been hush and don't talk about it. Nope, it didn't happen this way. I'm sure there's been situations where people have gone through sexual assault or rape or being molested, and people change the narrative of the story to justify the behavior, even though they know that that family member may have that issue. So it's going to be awkward for a while, but we have to have these conversations to get it out there and to start the healing process.
All right, love you much on that one. Let's talk to Rose. Good evening, Rose. Thank you for holding.
Good evening to you and your guests. I want to piggyback on Pam. I agree with her wholeheartedly. Some women accept all type of vulgar treatment, language between the men and women, but all women are not like that. I can recall once when I was at work, this young guy, he was sitting up. The things that he was saying was just unbelievable. And I reported it. Because I was not comfortable with it. I was at work, and I don't go to work. I did not go to work to hear that kind of vulgarity. Some people got upset with me. Oh, the women, oh, well, I can take that kind of stuff. Maybe you can. I don't come to work for that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be around those type of men. And some men don't understand. All women are not alike, just like all men are not alike.
That's right.
So everybody has to learn one another. If that's what you enjoy, you're adult, do it. But you can't do it around everybody.
All right, Rose, you said a mouthful.
Thank you.
She really did. Rose said a mouthful. Ladies, we definitely are going to have to do a part two to this in many ways. Auntie Gina, in closing real quick, what do you want to say?
I'd like to say we'll be talking about this a little bit more next week at FemCom. I did a stand-up class, took 6 weeks of class, and some of the women brought some really heavy things. It's all female comics, so we'll be at Promontory next week. And, like, as we were practicing, some real heavy stuff came out and really made us have to say, wow, like, a lot of women.
Step back a little bit. All right, thank you, Auntie Gina. We love you so much. Chinera, in closing.
In closing, I would like to say, if you have the opportunity and you're a mentor or a loved one of a young person, definitely educate that person, the child, male or female, and empower them and let them know that you can truly be a confidant. And to the confidants, make sure that you are prepared to handle what you're hearing and that you give a proper response, because I think a lot of this happens because the victim does not feel that it can be resolved.
All right.
And they carry a lot of guilt.
Thank you so much, Boss Lady Number Two. Love you.
Thank you. Appreciate you so much.
Absolutely. Akilah?
It's very simple. Just stop normalizing craziness. Stop allowing it to happen and stop making the victim seem like they did something wrong.
Very good. Thank you so very much. And Elizabeth, I'm going to let you close out our segment.
Yeah, and I would just say, let's support each other through this movement. The Me Too movement is everyone, because for the fathers that have daughters that are going to enter the workforce, you want your daughters to feel safe. You want them to be in an environment where they're going to be respected. And so part of the part of the challenge with this situation is it's not just a female issue, it's not just a male issue, it's really us coming together as a community, mm-hmm. you know, and working together to really stop this type of behavior from happening.
Very good. You will join us again for doing this. Real quick, tell everybody how they can get your book.
So the best way to get information about me is on my website, ElizabethOverstreet.com, and all my social media sites are on there as well.
Mm-hmm. Very good. We've got to change this. We really do. And you know, we were really offline saying that, you know, our race of people have mm-hmm. been through some things, not like other races have not, but we probably have been through things, you know, magnified more than anything of just inappropriateness.
And recently as well.
That's right.
Recent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. So we've got to figure it out. Well, ladies, thank you so very much. Can we do a part two of this?
Definitely.
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. And then I think I'm going to actually incorporate some gentlemen in this conversation. I really am. I think we'll incorporate a few guys and just kind of make that go back and forth. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to go back and forth now.
It will.
All right, so listen, it's Mother's Day weekend. Make sure you treat your mom really, really well. Again, if your mom is no longer here like my mother, make sure you go to the cemetery, have a conversation with your mom or whatever it is. But please love on your mother as much as possible and do all the right things.